We are very happy to welcome everyone to Sri Radha Vrindavan Chandra's Sunday festival. Today is the Pandava Nirjal Ekadasi, very special day wherein, since ancient times, devotees of the Lord have fasted and utilize their valuable human energy to hear and chant the glories of the Lord and those special personalities in relation to the Lord. The devotees taste nectar when they hear of those who love Krishna. Therefore, we find Srimad Bhagavatam, it is the story of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, always in relationship to his devotees. In the fourth canto, there is the story of Dhruva Maharaj. The Lord only appears at certain times in that story, but throughout is the incredible devotional activities of this five-year-old boy, Dhruva. Similarly, in the seventh canto, there's so many chapters describing the humility, the tolerance, the love of Prahlad. And the Lord only appears at the very end of that story to save him from the wrath of Hiranyakashipu. Mahabharata is the story of the Pandavas. And Krishna appears to speak Bhagavad Gita and run some messages for the Pandavas as well. So yes, the Lord descends to this world to paritranaya sadunam vinashaya chaduskritam dharma samstapanarathaya sambhavami juke juke, to re-establish principles religion, to protect the pious, and to annihilate the miscreants. However, to show how to do that practically, the Lord empowers his devotees. And therefore, it is great joy of the heart to hear of those who love the Lord. Yesterday was a very auspicious day. It was the disappearance of the great Vaishnav Acharya, Sri Baladev Vidyabhushan, who was so learned and so deep in realization of the scriptures and its essence, unmotivated, uninterrupted, loving service to Sri Radha and Krishna, that he wrote books which are so historical in their impact on so many millions and millions and millions of fortunate person's lives. Our own beloved Guru Maharaj very much worshipped the lotus feet of Baladev Vidyabhushan, especially his commentary on Bhagavad Gita and Vedanta Sutra. Yesterday was also the appearance day of a very exalted Vaishnavi. Her name, Gangamata Goswamini. I was requested today to speak on this subject with your permission. In what is today Bangladesh, there is a city called Rajshahi. Near that place, about 450 years ago, there was a kingdom. The name of the king of that province was Naresh Narayan. He had great influence and wealth, a very chaste, faithful, loving wife, only one child. It was a girl named Sachi Devi. Sachi Devi, from her very birth, learned poetry, learned the basic subjects of learning. But as soon as she could read nicely, she absorbed her entire consciousness in reading the Holy Scriptures. And naturally, she could understand the essence of the Scriptures as loving service to Lord Krishna. So when she was just a little girl, she gave her heart to Madan Gopal. She was so beautiful. Plus, not only was she the princess, but it was guaranteed that she was going to be the queen of the entire kingdom. She had wealth, beauty, all good qualities. So many very, very qualified men were coming to petition her hand as their wife. So the parents, King Naresh Narayan and his good wife, they decided it would be a nice time to have her married. But Sachi Devi, with great conviction, she exclaimed to them that if you want to get me married, there's only one type of person I will agree to marry. Otherwise, I adamantly refuse. You must find me a man who was immortal. I will never marry anyone subjected to death. Because she already gave her heart to Madan Gopal, Sri Krishna. So this was a very, very serious problem for the parents. Because where do you find such a person of marriageable age? So they tried and tried, but she was adamant. She would not marry anyone who was subject to death. She would not marry anyone who was born. So they were frustrated because now there's just one girl, unmarried, who's the heir to the whole kingdom. So they got old and they both left this world, died. Then the entire kingdom was entrusted to Sachi Devi. She became the ruling queen with no king. And she ruled with very, very great responsibility for several years. But she was never attached. She was always longing for spiritual perfection. She performed her duty until she found some other people, relatives, who she could designate particular services to. And she told them that I'm going to leave for some time. You perform these duties. I am going to inspect the welfare of the kingdom and the citizens. So she left. But she immediately left the kingdom and went on pilgrimage. Visited many holy places. She was searching for a guru, someone who could enlighten her in Krishna consciousness. She wandered here and there until she came to Jagannath Puri. There, she gave her life at the lotus feet of Lord Jagannath. And Lord Jagannath, from within her heart, inspired her. You must immediately go to Vrindavan. There your desires will be fulfilled. Sachi Devi left Puri and walked by foot to Sri Vrindavan Dham. When she arrived, by the grace of Krishna, she met one of the greatest of the Vaishnavas. His name, Haridas Pandit Goswami. Haridas Pandit was a disciple of Ananta Acharya, who was a direct disciple of Gadadhar Pandit, the Ladini Shakti, Srimati Radharani, who appeared in Lord Chaitanya's pastimes within the Panchatattva. Anantacharya was such a great, great devotee, as was his disciple Haridas. It is described Haridas Pandit characteristics. He was constantly immersed in the worship of the deity of Sri Govindadev. From his mouth only emanated the glories of Lord Chaitanya and his associates, and Sri Radha and Krishna. constantly describing Lord Chaitanya's character, his mercy, and his beautiful pastimes with his devotees. He was simply an ocean of Harikatha. How did he have such an intimate taste for chanting the names and glories of the Lord? This is also described. He would never, ever hear or speak the criticism of anyone. He would only look for the good in others. It is described in the Shastras that there are different kinds of people in this world. Some are like flies. They are very, very eager to taste the bitterness of garbage, pus, infectious blood, stool. Yes? You have seen. When you have some infection, flies are always after it. Why? So much of your body's nice. Why are they after that part? They don't care about your nice lotus-like eyes. They don't care how nicely you have combed your hair that day. They don't care about that you have a PhD and an MA in various subjects from nice universities in America. They're not concerned with your perfect weight and your good health. If there's one infection on your body, zoom, they're focused in right there. That's all they want to know. For them, it's nectar. So people like that. Nayad bhachash chitrapadam hadera yasho jagat pavitram prakri nitya karhichit tad bayasam thiratam ushanti manasha nayatra hangsha niramanya shikshaya. The Bhagavatam describes like this. Crows are also in like this. Crows and flies like dirty, filthy places. Similarly, where there is criticism of others, where there is such mundane, materialistic talk, that is like a pilgrimage for crows and flies. But there is another type of person, which is like the honeybee. Even if the honeybee is in a field of garbage, if there's one flower, he'll just focus right on that flower and disregard everything else and drink the nectar from that flower. Similarly, a swan. A swan could be in a muddy place, but he's always anxious to drink the nectar from the lotus flower. So a devotee is meant to be like this swan, like this bee, always eager and enlivened to see good qualities in others, to glorify good qualities in others. And people with a materialistic mentality, for them it's nectar to gossip, to criticize other people. Well, this Haridas Pandit, even if a person was full of faults, he didn't care. If the person chanted Hare Krishna once, that was good enough for him. Whatever else there is, I don't need to know. He said, the person's a devotee. That's good enough for me. I will honor and respect. That was Haridas Pandit. Such a soft, gentle, non-envious heart. In fact, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna tells Arjuna that in order to actually understand the message of Gita, it is not a matter of scholarship of Sanskrit or philosophy. It's a matter of being non-envious. If a person is not envious of others, if a person is a well-wisher of others, even if that person is illiterate, they can understand Gita nicely if they have enthusiasm to hear. We know that story of the Brahmin in South India. He was illiterate. He could kind of read, but he didn't pronounce anything very properly. Sri Rangam was the high seat of learning. Many, many very, very learned pundits who pronounce every syllable of every line of every sloka with perfection. That's their pride, just perfect pronunciation of literal Sanskrit, chanting of mantras like the raging wind. And here was this simple person who was just Dehinasmin Jata Jejana. And what is this? they would laugh at him. They would ridicule him. Sometimes they would criticize him. He was the most useless amongst them. Well, Lord Chaitanya was staying there in Sri Rangam during the Chaturmasya. And he happened to see this devotee just struggling to try to somehow or other recite the Gita. And Lord Chaitanya saw people laughing at him, paying no attention to him whatsoever except to demean him. And the Lord asked that Brahmin, please tell me, you are reading, what part of the Gita is bringing you so much happiness? Because there was tears in his eyes. He said, Swamiji, I don't know what I'm reading, actually. I don't know reading. Why? Because my Gurudev gave me an order that every single day of my life I must read all 700 verses of Bhagavad Gita. So I don't understand really what it is. Sometimes I may say it right, I may say it wrong. I don't know the difference. But I know one thing. I must please my Gurudev by carrying out his instruction. Let anyone say whatever they want of me. Lord Chaitanya was very pleased because he took the order of his guru as his life and soul. Even at the cost of being criticized, ridiculed, and rejected. Lord Chaitanya asked, if you don't understand properly, then why do I see your hair standing on end and tears coming from your eyes? What is it that's moving you in this way? He says, as I'm reciting these verses, in my heart I am meditating constantly on Shyamasundar, that beautiful form of Krishna, who has a complexion like a dark rain cloud, who's the all-merciful Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's holding the reins of the horses for the chariot of his devotee Arjuna. Arjuna is telling him, go here, go there, and Krishna, as an obedient servant, is serving his own devotee. And between the armies, that beautiful form of Krishna, out of his kindness and love for his devotee and all living beings, is speaking this Bhagavad Gita. It is that form of Krishna that I cannot forget. Lord Chaitanya was so happy. He said, you perfectly have understood Gita. You are authority. And the Lord embraced him. And when he embraced him, all the realizations, conclusions, and perfections of life were given to him. He attained ecstatic love of God. Vidaishta sarvayaraham eva vedyo vedanta krit veda vedeva chaham. All the Vedas are to know Krishna. These other pundits, they knew the slokas, but they didn't know Krishna. This simple Brahmin, he didn't know any slokas properly, but he knew Krishna because he was humble, because he was sincere, and because he had yasya devi para bhaktir yatha de dev. He had complete faith in the words of his guru. Everything was revealed to him. And Lord Chaitanya, who was Krishna himself, remained with that Brahmin for 4 months. He allowed him to be in his association. So yes, Haridas Pandit, he was learned. He was learned in the scriptures. But his realization was so deep because he loved the Vaishnavas. He was compassionate to every living entity. He was the well-wisher of all. When Sachi Devi saw his enthusiasm to speak from Srimad Bhagavatam, his enthusiasm to speak about Lord Chaitanya, her heart melted. She fell at his feet and begged for shelter. Haridas Pandit told her that, you can sit over there and do some bhajan if you like. So she would chant. She would attend the classes of Srimad Bhagavat, Chaitanya Bhagavat. And she was performing great austerities. Haridas Pandit said to her one day, Sachi Devi, you're a queen. You are a queen. Vrindavan is a very simple place. for ascetics and renunciates. You should be practical. Go home to your kingdom, have a deity of Krishna, worship Krishna at home, and that will be fine for you. But Vrindavan is a very difficult place. This is a place where people come to perform austerities. Sachi Devi could understand that the person that she accepted within her heart as her spiritual master was trying to test her. So she became very determined. And she performed her bhajan. She ate very little. Little by little, she gave away all her ornaments. She gave away all her fine clothing. She was immersed in devotional service in Sri Vrindavan. Haridas Pandit said, "I'm very pleased with you. Now, if you want to make nice spiritual advancement, don't have any fixed place. Just go, wander, and beg. I want to see you give up your shyness, give up all sense of false pride, and go house to house to the poor Brijabasis as a humble beggar." Oh, when Sachi heard this, she became jubilant. She's, Gurudev is accepting me as a servant. He's giving me such a good instruction. So she wandered around Brajbhumi just begging from house to house like a honeybee, from flower to flower, doing the Madhukari. Always chanting the names of the Lord. Always so very, very eager to hear those great souls who were speaking Harikatha. Soon, her body became emaciated, thin. Her lustrous physical beauty just faded away. She only wore rags, discarded rags for clothes. But she was immersed in hearing the glories of the Lord, chanting the glories of the Lord, offering obeisances to the devotees of the Lord, and serving. Soon she was living on the bank of the Jamuna, sleeping on the hard, cold ground, with no house, nothing, under the stars. And she would wake up and take her bath, and then she'd go to the various temples of the Goswamis and perform the menial service of cleaning the temples. She would be on her hands and knees just cleaning the floors with such a grateful heart. Now, from a material point of view, this is a real failure story. You know, we hear about people who were just working on the railway and then gradually they become the president of the United States. This is America, the land of opportunity. Yes. And we hear about people who were just, you know, selling potatoes on the side of the road, and now they have huge industrial complexes with hundreds and thousands of employees and billionaires. Yes, this is a success story. Well, here we have a queen who has the power to rule over so well an entire kingdom with immense wealth, ornaments, clothes, palaces, ruling an entire kingdom. And now she's sleeping on the bank of the Jamuna in rags, and she's just bungy, just sweeping the floors as her menial service, in great happiness. But we honor this as a great success story, because she attained a wealth that was millions and billions and trillions of times greater than any kingdom of this world, greater than Indra's. She attained the Mahanidhi, the great treasure of love of God. So she was performing her service with such sincerity, and so eager to hear and eager to chant and eager to serve, that Haridas Pandit was very pleased with her. He called for Sachi Devi and told her that I can see all the Brijabasis in Brajbhumi are talking about you. You're so effulgent with happiness, so effulgent with devotion, absorbed in chanting Krishna's names, and living so very simple. I have decided I will initiate you. She was so very, very grateful. With such a grateful heart, Sachi Devi received the mantra of Radha and Krishna from Haridas Pandit Goswami. And she continuously chanted that mantra and worshipped her guru and worshipped Sri Sri Radha and Krishna and all the Vaishnavas. She had a maternal aunt who was her god sister, a disciple of Haridas Pandit. Her name was Lakshmi Priya. Now Lakshmi Priya, she was such a great devotee of her Gurudev that she chanted minimum 300,000 names every day. That is approximately 192 rounds on a mala with 108 beads. 16 rounds takes about 2 hours. Yes? How many hours will 192 rounds take? 24 hours? That is a mathematical calculation? Satatam kirtayanto mam yatantascha drita vrita namasyantascha mam bhaktya nitya yukta upashate. Krishna tells in Gita, my devotees are always chanting my names and glories. Kirtaniya sadahari. But you have to be humble like these Vaishnavas to do it. So Lakshmi Priya came to Braj Bhumi. And Haridas Pandit told Lakshmi Priya, why don't you take Sachi Devi, your niece, to Radha Kund and there perform your bhajan together. And you could teach her so many nice things about how to perfect her life in bhakti. So Lakshmi Priya and Sachi Devi went to Radha Kund. And there, Auntie Lakshmi Priya was teaching her all nice things about Krishna, about Bhagavatam, about the holy names. Every single day they would do the full parikrama of Sri Giriraj Govardhan Hill. After some time, Haridas Pandit Goswami called for Sachi Devi. He told her that in Orissa, practically all of the associates of Lord Chaitanya have already left this world. I would like you to go to Jagannath Puri and accept Kshetra Sannyas. Accept the vow of never leaving that holy place. I have gotten news that the holy house of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya near the banks of the Sweta Ganga is dilapidated and his deity is not being worshipped properly. You should go there and take charge of the worship of his deity and restore the sanctity of that holy place which has been abandoned. Sachi Devi took that order upon her head and she walked to Jagannath Puri from Vrindavan town. When she arrived, she saw the house of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was just abandoned and in ruins. But there was one special thing left in it, the Damodar Shalagram Shila that Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya personally worshipped. Now please know, in this house, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu lived there as the guest of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. So many wonderful pastimes of the Lord had taken place there. She worshipped that place. Gradually, Sachi Devi began to speak from Srimad Bhagavatam, as she had heard from her guru, her auntie, and the other great Vaishnavas of Vrindavan. She explained the Bhagavatam according to the teachings of the six Goswamis, headed by Sri Rupa Goswami. Gradually, the people of Puri became so very much attracted by the purity of her heart, by the humility of her life, and by the intense realization and knowledge that she had. Soon, she became famous as a reciter of Srimad Bhagavatam. She didn't just give a 7-day course. She spoke every day of the year. And people would come from miles and miles and miles around every day just to hear Sachi Devi speak the Bhagavatam. And one person who was very eager to hear from her was the king of Puri, whose name was Mukundadev. He would come regularly to hear Sachi Devi speak, and his heart was really being transformed. He was so impressed. He saw that she was living in total poverty from material point of view, but yet she was so happy and so grateful and so ecstatic to share the wealth of her devotion with others. So the king wanted to give her something in reciprocation for the teachings he was receiving. But what to give a lady like this, who obviously she was a queen, she's rejected everything, what can you give her? She already has everything but doesn't want it, except Krishna. So one night when Mukundadev was sleeping, Lord Jagannath appeared to him in dream and told him, just close to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's house where Sachi Devi is residing is Sweta Ganga. Sweta Ganga is a small lake of water where people go to take their baths. It's a very holy place. On the banks of Sweta Ganga, give her residence. He became very happy. He woke up in the morning and went to Sachi Devi, and after her Srimad Bhagavatam class, he said, she welcomed him. She offered him a seat, offered him all hospitality with such gracious devotion. The king said, I want to give you something. She said, but I don't need anything. But you're in poverty. That's all right, I don't need anything. Lord Jagannath appeared to me in a dream and told me to give you a plot of land just on the banks of Sweta Ganga. I have the deed all drawn out. I'll give it to you. She said, no, no, no. If I possess anything, that will become an entanglement for me. I don't need anything. But he insisted and insisted and insisted. I have to give it to you. It's Jagannath's order to me. How can I go to the temple and face Jagannath if I'm not following his order? So out of mercy upon him, she said, all right, I will accept it. So he gave her the deed to the land. And he also made a statement. He called that Ghat, the Ghat for Sachi Devi. And he made it known throughout Puri that Sachi Devi was a royal, wealthy queen who rejected all the things of this material world due to her greed, her lobha, her eagerness for service to Krishna, Guru, and the Vaishnavas. She became highly respected. There's a festival called Mahavaruni, and on this day, Mahavaruni Utsav, people from all parts of Bengal, especially Orissa and other places, they go to bathe in the Ganges. It's the day of Varuna. So they go to bathe in the Ganga. So thousands and thousands and millions of people were going to the Ganga to take their baths. And Sachi Devi was thinking, I want to go also. But her Gurudev gave her an order to never leave Puri. So she had to give up that idea. She remained where she was. On the day of that Mahavaruni Utsav, Lord Jagannath appeared to Sachi Devi in a dream and told her that Mother Ganga wants you to bathe in her waters. She's eager for your association. So you go late at night tonight to the Sweta Ganga, this pond of water, and Ganga Devi will appear there to give you a bath. She wants to bathe you. So in the middle of the night, Sachi Devi, just all alone, walked from her residence to the Swaita Ganga. As soon as she entered the water, the water just started flooding. It was an incredible flood. It's just this. Have any of you been to Swaita Ganga in Puri? It's just this very placid lake. There's no running water. The water's just sitting like this. There's no waves. There's no current. It's just like a man-made box lake. Something like the one out here. But all of a sudden, the water was just coming forward and just coming up and up and up and up. It was flooding. It started flooding all of Puri. And Sachi Devi's just on the water and the current of Mother Ganga, who actually appeared there on that day. Mother Ganga just came right out of the Swaita Ganga and formed a river. And the current brought Sachi Devi from Swaita Ganga a long distance away, relatively, right to Jagannath's temple. And just the current brought her right into the temple, into the deity room. Hare Krishna. And Sachi Devi heard voices. Thousands, thousands, tens and thousands of people were bathing in the Ganges. She could hear them all. She could see them all, the residents of Puri, right in the temple. But they weren't the people that you could see with your eyes, unless you were Sachi Devi. So the guards of the temple, in India, you know how guards are. They were sleeping. All of a sudden, all these noises, all these thousands and thousands and thousands of voices can be heard from inside the temple. And they're outside the temple with their sticks. What's happening? What's that? It's all, everything's flooded. And they go to the king and they say, because even the guards are not allowed in the temple at night. Everything is locked and closed. Only Jagannath, Baladev, and Subhadra are in that temple at night, after hours. So they went to the king, and the king said, this is something very... I hear all these noises inside the temple. Open up the doors. Let us go and see what's happening in there. They opened up the doors, and they saw in the temple, everything was peaceful and quiet. There was one person standing near Jagannath, Sachi Devi. They became furious because they're guards. They conceived that Sachi Devi was a thief. Somehow or other, in the middle of the night, she snuck in the temple to steal the ornaments and clothing of Lord Jagannath. They were very outraged. Some of the people said, no, this is Sachi Devi. We hear her Bhagavatam class. She's very saintly. No, what is she doing in the temple in the middle of the night all alone like this? They reported to the king. The king was very disturbed. So they decided that she must go on trial. Until the trial, she would be put in the dungeon of the prison house. They dragged Sachi Devi and put her in prison dungeon. Sachi Devi was in bliss. She understood whatever Lord Jagannath is doing is ultimately for his Leela. Whatever comes upon me is for my purification. She was being mistreated. She was put in a dark prison house. But she was constantly chanting the holy names with such a grateful heart. Tatenu kampam susamikshamano bunjana evatmakritam vipagam haridvagvapur bir vitadam namaste jiveti samukti sade sadaya bhagam. Who is entitled to the perfection of liberation? That person who, when put in a very, very difficult, painful condition of suffering, doesn't complain, doesn't hate God, doesn't blame God, but with folded palms bows down with a grateful heart and says, thank you, Krishna. I deserve worse. I'm your property. Ashlisyava padra tampanashtumam, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu prayed. Krishna, you can embrace me, or you can trample on me, or you can make me brokenhearted by not being present before me. I am your servant, unconditionally. You can deal with me in any way you like. This is devotee. And in order to have the opportunity to actually practice this principle, we should welcome difficulties when they come to us. So this was Sachi Devi's consciousness. Chanting Hare Krishna, blissfully while in prison. That night, who do you think appeared in the king's dream? Everyone together, who do you think? Thank you very much. Lord Jagannath appeared to the king, and he wasn't smiling like he usually is. So Jagannath is always smiling, but in this dream he was not smiling. He said to the king that Sachi Devi is my dear devotee. How dare you put her in prison? Do you know why she's there? Because Mother Ganga and Lord Jagannath, well, he was saying me. Not me, but Lord Jagannath was saying me. Saying, I wanted her to be bathed in the water of the Ganges. And I wanted to see her with my own eyes being bathed in the Ganges water. Therefore, I brought her to the temple. And you are punishing her? You and all your priests and all your pandas who have put her in this prison must fall at her feet and profusely beg forgiveness from her. Otherwise, everything auspicious about your life will be finished by me. I order you, beg forgiveness, fall at her feet, and take initiation from her. He immediately woke up and called the guards and the pujaris and the pandas and said, Jagannath doesn't want her in jail, let her go. But every one of you, if you want to live, beg forgiveness. So they all came to the prison cell and fell at her feet and were crying and weeping and begging forgiveness. They released her from prison. And then King Mukundadev came to her. He was begging pardon for the offense again and again and again. Then he offered his life to her. He said, Jagannath has given me the order that I must take formal initiation from you in the Sampradaya. Please give me the mantra, as unqualified as I am. Sachi Devi, on the next auspicious day, initiated King Mukundadev. And on that same day, most of the priests, pujaris, and pandas of Lord Jagannath also came to take initiation from her. From that day on, she was known as Ganga Mata Goswamini.
Evo!
Should I continue?
Evo!
Now that she was the king's guru, and most of the pujari's guru, she was very, very highly respected by the whole society. But still, she remained so simple. She maintained the standard of poverty, just had one set of raggedy clothes, and still did madhukari. The king wanted to give her some dakshina, but she didn't want anything. So finally she said, you could give me a little of Jagannath's Mahaprasad every day. That's good enough. So she lived in this way. Thousands of kilometers from there is Rajasthan. In Rajasthan is the city of Jaipur. Near Jaipur, there was a very, very devoted Brahmin named Sharma. And he worshipped a deity, an ancient deity named Rasik Rai. Now, this Brahmin was so poor, he really didn't have anything to offer the deity. So one day Rasik Rai spoke to him and told him, "You don't have anything for me. You're not offering me anything anymore." He said, "I don't have anything. My desire is you take me to Jagannath Puri and entrust my worship to Ganga Mata Goswamini." So he immediately accepted this is the Lord's will. And carrying his deity of Rasik Rai, he walked all the way from Jaipur to Purushottam Kshetra. There he asked, "Who is this Ganga Mata Goswamini? Where does she live?" So they showed the house of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. She said, she welcomed him with so much motherly affection. He said, "Rasik Rai, my deity, Thakurji, he wants to be worshipped by you because I'm in so much poverty, I have nothing to give him." So Sachi Devi said, "But I'm also in poverty, I have nothing to give him. I cannot take such a responsibility. I'm in at least as much poverty as you. So you should take him back to Jaipur. I cannot do justice to this deity worship." So he insisted, and she insisted, "No, I will not." Would you like to know what he did?
No.
He put the deity in her little Tulsi garden in the middle of the night, and then, without saying anything to anyone, fled for Jaipur. She wakes up in the morning to collect her Tulsi leaves for her Damodar Shila, and there's Rasik Rai. And she realized that Rasik Rai has come to accept her service. So with such loving, motherly affection, she picked up Rasik Rai, knowing that he's hungry, and brought him into her small room, and she went out begging to get some bhoga, and then she prepared nice prasad for him. And every day she did like this. She would go out begging to get bhoga to prepare for Rasik Rai. Every now and then she would share with him her madukari, what she collected begging. In this way, she absorbed her life in the worship of the deity. For 12 hours a day, continuously, she would perform puja and worship to Rasik Rai. She took this responsibility so deeply in her heart. And she would every day speak from Bhagavatam, Harikatha, and chant hundreds and thousands of names every day. This is the way she lived her life. For many, many years, she became one of the greatest acharyas in all of Puri and one of the most famous and worshipable acharyas in our Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya. Worshipping Rasik Rai, speaking Srimad Bhagavat, and chanting the holy names in the service of the Vaishnavas, she lived her life until she became very old. 120 years old she was. It was hard for her to go out begging, and without begging, she had no food for the deities, because she wouldn't accept things, except in this humble way. So she prayed to the deity of Rasik Rai that, "Please, let other people take care of you and worship you nicely. I'm too old. I cannot perform the service any longer. I will entrust your care to very simple-hearted and qualified devotees. I have only one request. Let me give up this life, chanting your holy names." Rasik Rai said, no, I'm not going to let you give up your life. I'm very happy with whatever service you're offering me." But he understood her heart. So she entrusted the responsibility of the deity worship to very, very nice devotees. And then on one very auspicious day, she was sitting before Rasik Rai, just near the banks of the Sweta Ganga, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's house, and she was gazing upon the beautiful threefold bending form of the Lord, sweetly chanting his holy name. And in that wonderful spirit, the Lord brought her to Goloka Vrindavan. To resume her eternal service in his transcendental pastimes. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.